Well, good morning and welcome to church. Particular welcome to you if it's your first time with us. Particularly everyone, it's our first time this year to be with us back together as church. It's good to see a few new faces like Rowan and Naomi and Shane and Eleni, and it's good to see some people from New Faces back and some new people, visitors from overseas and other people like that. It's great to see you. How about I'll lead us in prayer? Father, we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our heart, will be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It will be helpful to have a Bible there and an outline. First point I've got there is to boast is human. I know of a man who has four kids, and this man could boast about his four kids. It's me. I want to boast. Oh, thanks for that laughing. That was good. I want to boast in Tuesday night. We went backyard camping with the kids on Tuesday night, and we had a great time with my three oldest boys. Doesn't seem like much, but for us it was excellent. Every parent here who has little ones knows that there's something you can boast in. The little word they say, the first time they walk. I suppose if you meet someone from England, at the moment we have something to boast about. You might not say it, but you certainly think it. I suppose you can boast in a way that's ugly. Yeah, there is ugly boasting. And you can boast in a way that you might regard as neutral. And there are some ways of boasting which you have to say definitely is positive. Why don't you tell me a few things? What do people boast about? What are some of the things that people boast about? It could be yourself. What's it, sorry? Some people boast about the Bulldogs winning the premiership. That's right. Hypothetical people. That's right. What else? Australia winning the Ashes. That's right, yeah. Yes. So it's Fred's still boasting about the awards that he won in the Sea Scouts. Yep. Anything else? Sorry? Your job, your career, you can boast about how great it is. Sometimes you can talk it up. You might have a certain job, but you kind of describe it in a way that sounds better than it might be. What are the dangers of boasting? Can you think of the dangers? This is my interactive part of the talk. What are the dangers of boasting? So what was that thing you were boasting in before, Fred? No. Some people make it repetitious. Yep. And so you just hear the same boast again and again and again. Yep. What else? Repetition. Some people boast. Yep. Tendency to exaggerate when you boast. Because why do you boast? Do you want to make yourself look good, or you actually fool yourself that this is true? Yeah. What else? You start to believe your own hype. That's very similar, related. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, one of the problems about boasting is a lot of it's got to do with competition. So I say I went backyard camping with my children, and my danger at putting that out there is someone else is going to say, well, I took my children to the south of France. Or, yep. And there's competition. I mean, that's why one of the ugliest parts of boasting is that as soon as you say something as a boast, it immediately makes everyone else think about their things, whether they feel inadequate or superior. Yeah. Last one, I can think of one. Arrogance. I think one of the biggest problems of boasting is that it tends to feed arrogance. Now, people boast. To boast is human. We all do it. And I want to say today, from the reading that we had from Jeremiah, God wants us to boast. It's part of our wiring. Look at that verse that's printed on the outline. Jeremiah 9. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight. He does not tell us to repress boasting, but to express it in the right way towards Him. I have this theory about Christian living that so much the Bible is like a judo move. That we have this natural inclination, drives, desires, and God doesn't say, stop it. He says, use that for the right purpose. Don't love money, love people and God with money. Don't chase after satisfaction in things, chase after satisfaction in God. Don't spend energy on anxious thoughts just in your own mind. Spend anxious energy in prayer towards God. And what he's saying here is, don't boast in yourself, but boast in the Lord God. To boast is human. God wants us to boast. This week and next week, we're actually looking at boasting. How to boast? This week, we're looking at the idea of boasting in God. And next week, we're looking at boasting in the cross. The very heart of God's message. Why? Boasting appears all throughout the Bible. Why? I think I'm convinced that boasting unlocks, to understand boasting actually unlocks God's ways. Boasting is a key that unlocks God's ways. We're in point two of the outline. Well, boasting in ourselves, without God, I think is a summary of sin. Ignoring God, rejecting Him, turning our backs on Him, taking all His gifts, the wisdom He's given us, the strength He's given us, the riches He's given us, the life He's given us, the breath He's given us, and turning our backs on the one who gave them and said, this is all from me. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, the strong man in his strength, the rich in his riches. It is a sin of the heart that gives birth to a sin of the mouth. And sometimes the sin of the mouth reinforces the sin of the heart. We sometimes say, we've got all these things from God. I mean, it's easy when you've got those things. I mean, it's not the dumb man, the poor man and the weak man who's going to boast. It's the strong man, the wise man and the rich man and woman. And you receive these things and you're going to kick it back in God's face if you just say, it's all from me. It's a summary of sin. Have you heard this one? It's a very old-fashioned one. Look at the word sin. What's at the heart of sin? Anyone know? The heart of sin? I. That's the middle letter in sin. And that's what boasting is. It's just putting I first. It's saying, it's all about me. It's ingratitude, it's presumption, it's arrogance. And that's what boasting just in ourself is. Just in ourself. And you can ask in a little bit while we'll have a question time, and you can ask about the details about... I'm not saying that you should play down everything you're good at in some silly Christian... You know, the way that Christians are wont to do sometimes. It's not that at all. It's not false pretending that you're no good at things. It's boasting... Not in ourselves, but boasting in Him. Boasting in Him is a statement of trust. Isn't that what God wants us to do? He says, let not him boast in his wisdom, strength, riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that I know the Lord. It's our trust in our hearts giving birth to trust on our lips. Our God's people have boasted in the Lord from the very beginning. From the first person who called on the name of the Lord, Abraham, we read from the reading today, David, God's faithful people, Jesus Christ, boasted in the Lord. The first Christians, when they stood up, gathered around, boasted in the great things that God had done for them. The apostles, in almost every letter of the New Testament, are boasting in what God has done. It is what Christians are doing throughout the world. When they gather at church, boasting in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. When they speak to their friends about the gospel, they're just boasting and just saying how great the Lord is. When they go through hard times and realize that God has looked after them, they are boasting in God. When they go through good times, when they bring God into their weddings, into their funerals, into their lives, they are boasting in the Lord. It is confidence, adulation, trust. out of the overflow of our hearts, our mouths speak. What particularly we boast about? Well, the passage that we have printed out here is, let him who boasts boast about this, that he knows the Lord. That he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, righteousness on the earth, for in these I delight. What does he boast about? That he knows God. That God is kind, that God is just, that God is righteous. I mean, it is delightful to know the Lord. Not know about the Lord, not just know where to look to find about the Lord, but actually to understand and know the Lord through our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw at this point, boasting expresses our trust in God. We had that reading from Romans chapter 3. If you have a Bible, please open it with me and turn to Romans chapter 3. Some of the most amazing parts of the scriptures that's ever been written. Life-changing, world-changing scripture. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. I mean, that is the summary of the good news. That everyone, without exception, from what we would regard to as the greatest to what we regard to as the least, in fact, what we regard doesn't matter, because God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, including the people who've committed vile murders, to the people who you'd say are the most outstanding human beings ever walked this earth. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the gospel is, and are justified freely, without cost, or without cost for us. But we find out, verse 25, great cost to God. God presented him, that's Jesus Christ, as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice. Come down to verse 27, his bottom line. Where then is boasting? It's excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, on that of faith. Boasting in ourselves says we don't have trust in God. That kind of boasting is excluded. When we boast in God, we're showing we trust him. And look, chapter 4, look, what should we say about Abraham, our forefather, discovered in the matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about. He wasn't though, but not before God. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness. Now when a man works, his wages are not credited as a gift, but as obligation. However, to the man who does not work but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. There is nothing for Abraham to boast in. There is nothing for King David, who we know, if you know anything about the Bible, commits adultery, has a man killed, actually has a few people killed to cover up the whole adulterous affair that he has. And in verse 6, King David, 1,000 years before Christ, says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does never count. We can't boast of saving ourselves. Can someone drowning boast that they, when a lifesaver comes, that they have saved themselves? Can someone who is facing a tumour to be removed and the surgeon skillfully removes it, can they boast that it was their doing? Anymore, can someone who apart from God is in fact dead to God, has fallen short of the glory of God, and if God saves them, if God forgives them, as the language says here, how can they boast of saving themselves? Boasting is one of those keys that I think shows us and unlocks the way of God. If we boast in God, it is saying we trust him. We absolutely trust him. If we boast in ourselves for our salvation, what's it saying? We trust ourselves. Well, boasting in God actually most clearly increases his glory. It's the middle, the beginning, the middle, and the end of the Christian life is to boast in God. We start our life by Christian life by boasting in God, the things He has done for us. We continue it, and we most certainly end it that way. Well, what is this boasting? I mean, it's a boasting that comes from our heart. It's what we say. It includes a boasting to fellow believers. And I think sometimes, tragically, at church, we don't actually enable... We might think these things, but we don't say the things we're thinking of, how great God is to each other, particularly over morning tea and other times. We've got to continue to do that, to boast of the Lord to each other. It includes boasting to those who are not yet Christian. As we say, how good God has been to us, how great it is that God has saved us. And as we share that with them, it includes boasting in the good times. There's lots of good times. But it certainly includes boasting in the bad times. To actually continue to boast that God has got you through. If you're in Romans, just turn with me to chapter 5. And look with me in chapter 5, verse 1. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Now that is just a beautiful summary of the gospel. I wish you could unpack all the details. But we've been saved, we've been set right with God, we have peace, a real peace with the Creator of the universe. And it says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only this, we rejoice in our sufferings. Actually, literally, it's we boast in the glory of God. We boast in our sufferings. And so the Christian boasts in the Lord, the things He's done, and we boast in our hardships. There's a part where it's incredibly real for Paul, heartbreakingly real. It turned a couple books forward. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It seems like Paul has a lot to boast about. He didn't go camping with his kids in the backyard, but he actually had a vision from the Lord. He saw things that other people hadn't seen. And I'd imagine if you had that, you could just start boasting in yourself. Be tempted to shift boasting in knowing the Lord to boasting in yourself. 2 Corinthians 12. I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I'll go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ, I think he's talking about himself, who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in his body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up into paradise. He heard inexpressible things that man is not permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like this, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weakness. Even though I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth, but I refrain. So no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say. Here's his sufferings. To keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Don't know exactly what it was. Some suffering of Paul, some real hardship. I mean, we know that Paul suffered like no one else, except maybe his master. We know that he was beaten, stoned, shipwrecked, gone without food, without drink. But there was one particular thorn in his flesh, whatever it is, that tormented him. He prays, 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take away from me. This is verse 9. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, Paul says, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And so sometimes it takes a breaking of our hearts sometimes it takes particularly hard times for us to realise that we can boast in the Lord. And to cause us to boast, not at the end of the suffering. Christian approach to suffering, isn't it? We suffer greatly, and at the end we look back and say, hey, that wasn't as bad as we thought. No, it was as bad as we thought. It's in the middle of the suffering Paul actually can boast in the Lord who brings him through all things. Sometimes, I know that's true of many of us, it's not until we do go through hard times that we don't, you know, it's only when we go through the hard times we actually realise how much we do owe to the Lord who made us and how powerful He is to support us through anything. We need to boast. We know the Lord. But even in hardship we understand Him, that He's powerful, He's kind, He's righteous, that He's saved us, that He's working in us, that whatever happens, His grace is sufficient for our weakness. For when we are weak, He is strong. It's not by impressive buildings primarily that Christians glorify God. It's not by powerful sermons that Christians glorify God. It's not by perfect meetings that Christians glorify God. It's not by enjoyable small groups that Christians glorify God. We glorify God when we trust Him, when we treasure Him, and when we boast in Him. There's a quote I've included there. I love this quote. Can you please look at it with me and learn it? This is a quote from John Piper. It's the bottom of the outline. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. When we find that we are saved in the Lord and we put our trust in Him, then we honour Him in a way that we could never do. Even the largest building we build, the most powerful sermon, the greatest prayer time, whatever else. And all those things which we want to do, building a building, having powerful sermons, enjoyable small groups, great meetings, seeing God's people serve each other in church, they are all there to serve that one purpose, that we might actually trust and glorify and boast in the Lord. Now, before we move on, I just wanted to say something about mouth versus heart. Is boasting just something that comes from your heart that pours out into your mouth? And so you only boast, only use the words when your heart is overflowing with those words. Do you know what I mean? I think yes. I think that's it's an oversimplification, because I think our mouths and the patterns we get into with our mouths also direct our hearts. And so when we want to glorify God, for instance in church, why do we sing? Is it because we trust God? Yes. Why do we sing? To increase our trust in God. And it's like that when we actually glorify God with our mouths. We do it because we treasure Christ, and by doing it, we treasure Christ even more. And so you say, Lord, increase my faith. You start boasting in the Lord. Actually doing it with believers, people who aren't believers, in the good times and the bad times. And God will use that, I think, to actually grow our hearts for Him. Well, boasting in the true uncontaminated gospel. We're going to go a bit quicker on this side of the page, but if Romans 3, you noticed how key it was. Paul says, it's as though there's no boasting. Well, boasting is excluded. There are some famous verses, and I've listed some there about boasting. Romans 3, Galatians 6, Ephesians 2. It must sadden God that He hands down this pure gospel, that He has saved us all of His own. And so quickly, people want to add on things that they do to save themselves. It happened so quickly that the Apostle Paul is writing about it, possibly only 30 years after Jesus died on the cross. And it happened so endemically that many people in our society, if you ask them what it is to be saved, start off by saying, well, these are the good things you must do. When you want to work out what the true, uncontaminated, pure gospel is, there are many ways Christians will talk about what is the pure gospel. One of them is the word legalism. Is this legalistic? Does it lead to legalism? I think that's all right, although I think that word is very slippery. People use legalism to describe anything. I think better still is to use the words that Paul uses. Does it lead to boasting? Does it lead to boasting in self, or does it lead to boasting in God? It is the true gospel if it leads to boasting in God. It is the true gospel if it leads to most boasting in God. Have a look in Ephesians chapter 2. I know many of you have used this as a just a measuring stick in your mind, and please do, for what is the true gospel? I'm moving around a bit to test these camera guys, see? This is a practice this morning, they're not filming this. Ephesians 2, look at verse 8. For it's by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself, it is the gift of God. It's God's work, not by works, so that no one can boast. What's the true gospel? It is God's work in our lives, and whatever it is, it can't lead to boasting in ourselves. It just simply says, for we're God's workmanship, even the Christian life. We're God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works prepared for us just to walk in. God's prepared for 2007 works for each one of us and works for us as a church. What we have to do is just walk down those good works. And so the beginning of the Christian life, there's no boasting. And in the middle of the Christian life, there is no boasting ourselves. In fact, we could boast in God. He's the one who saved us. He's the one who's given us the good works to walk in. Let me just introduce you to two words. I've got them on the outline, and I don't care if you're not a big words person. Please learn those. They're good words. Synergism and monergism. Okay, synergism is where we cooperate. Have you heard the word synergy? You know, like things working really well together. Synergism is where, the word erg, you know, if you're thinking erg, in the old days, well, I suppose they do it with rowing machines. Is it measured in ergs? Not that I've used the rowing machine very often. But erg is a measure of work, okay? Synergism is where we cooperate with God for our salvation. What God does is, God sees that we're in need of salvation. He sends His Son, whom He loves, into the world to save us from our sins. Jesus dies on the cross, rises again to give us hope. God sends the Holy Spirit to call us into faith and repentance. That's God's work. But synergism says, but there's a bit that we do. It says that we cooperate with God for our salvation. What are some of the things that people kind of add on to say that they have to do to be saved? Thank the Lord. I was going to say, thank the Lord our church has got no false teaching in it. No, everyone's got the pure gospel. But no, there's heaps around. Yeah, Fred. Sorry? Yeah, well, I suppose some people might add prayer. I'll just broaden that a bit. That you have to, like, you know, that you must, praying is part of your salvation. Yeah? Yeah. You have to be baptized, and particularly a certain way, whether it's as a little child or as an adult, and if you don't do it that way, then you are not saved. Yeah.
Is there a particularly shocking bit of televangelism recently where the guy...
Not that we're against televangelism. Sorry. Yeah,
but the guy was asked to build a second donation to see if you pump God to work.
It does. No, sorry. No, yeah, that's right. That's particularly shocking when people actually say almost as explicitly as you send the money, you get saved kind of thing. Or you know, this is God has saved you And they're kind of shifting in, you know, giving Visa card details over the phone. What's that, sorry? Okay. Yeah. Yes. I mean, some people do it for their... I think a lot of people just say it's by being a decent human being. And that is the most common form of synergism, of cooperating. God has saved us totally this way, and we are decent human beings, and therefore he's got to forgive us. Or God has saved us totally, and we got to go to church every week, and if we don't, we're in a little bit of trouble, but we can probably... He'll understand, but... if it's only a few times. There's lots of ways of doing it. It could be God has saved us and we think we have to be baptized to be saved. God has saved us totally. I've got to live a decent life to be saved. The Bible actually says salvation is 100% the work of God. Monergism. Only God at work. It is God's work to save us. If you have any form of synergism, any form of us cooperating with God, then there is something we can boast in. The true uncontaminated gospel says you can only boast in God. Which leads on to assurance. If we say we have 100% assurance, you know, that when I die that I'm going to be with Christ in heaven, in the new heavens and new earth, is that arrogant? I remember Ruth told me when she was a little kid, she went to youth group. We're going to start a youth group soon, which is cool. But she went to a youth group, and at youth group, one of her leaders told her that when he died, he was 100% sure that God would let him in. And I remember Ruth told me that she went back to her parents angry at the arrogance of this youth group leader. And she asked her parents about that, and they said, yeah, that's right, we're 100% sure too. Now, that would be arrogance if salvation depended on us. But if salvation is dependent on the work of God, then all boasting and all glorying goes to him. And if you trust Christ, you can trust him 100%. Our confidence is in him, and he has saved us. It's like the person in the sea who's struggling and drowning, and they have 100% trust in the lifesaver. Or the person under the knife, and they have 100% confidence in the... Although the lifesaver and the doctor might actually stuff up, but the God who created us, can he stuff up? There is certainty, 100% assurance for those who trust Christ. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely. Well, how are we going to finish? There's a very famous sermon by Martin Luther. And we'll be looking at Martin Luther in a couple of Wednesdays nights, so come along and find out about the man, Martin Luther. But one of the things he's famous for saying is sin boldly, and you'll have to come along and find out what on earth a Christian preacher would be meaning by saying sin boldly. But I'm going to use this line, boast boldly. I'm going to wrap up and say a few things about boasting boldly, but does anyone have a comment or a question about how to put this into practice or about anything I've said? Yeah.
One of the major ideas in our society is the split between public and private, and God is firmly in the private hand.
Yep.
That makes boasting of God kind of countercultural in a way, because it's going into the public arena with God.
Yes. The question is, in our society there's a very big divide between public and private, and one of those things in that divide is your God. And so God is definitely in the private side in our society, and so to boast in the Lord on both sides of that is very countercultural. It's very countercultural to do it in the public domain. I suppose the simple answer is yes, it is. And that in some sense shouldn't mean anything to us. Like, if Christ was countercultural, Paul's countercultural, the gospel calls us to be countercultural. I think it's a little bit countercultural even sometimes amongst Christian brothers and sisters, and I think we need to get it right here as well, to have a bit more confidence in boasting in the Lord. But I suppose there's ways of doing it. I spoke to someone recently about the family, and he was having an argument with his family, and he was tempted to sort of quote Bible verses at his family. That's not a good thing to do. That's not going to bring honour to God, to kind of to sort of take the moral high ground and that kind of thing. But I suppose to do those two things, to boast in God and then boast in God through our weakness, and that shows the glory of God and our trust in Him as well. So examples. If God answers a prayer, really excited about it, and someone's talking about the situation that you've been worried about, just say, "Hey, God's answered this prayer for me. It's been fantastic." Or if someone's in need, something I know Ruth does with some of the mums, is she'll say, "I'll pray for you," because in a sense you're boasting that God's the one who's got the answers, and that's sort of a little way. But I think just, in a sense, you get into the pattern of boasting, I suppose, wherever we are, and particularly amongst God's people. And I think we need to get that right and get the other right as well. I think we might have it in the heart, but I think we need to use our words a bit more to boast in the Lord as well. So long answer, but that's something to talk about more in tea. Ruthie. Yeah, no, that's a good question. I'm glad you're that. I want to keep boasting about my children, and they're our children, actually. And so I want to keep boasting about the kids. And there are lots of things. I'm really glad you asked that, because there are lots of things. It's unhuman not to boast. It is. I'll put it in the positive. It is human to boast, right? The underlying assumption is even our children are from the Lord. If we never say, "Thank you, Lord, for these children," and we kind of thank ourselves for them, we actually end up being a very ugly, depraved, distorted boasting. I don't think every time we talk about it, we have to say, you know, we were camping in the backyard with the kids. I thank the Lord for the tent. I thank the Lord for the children. I thank the Lord for Return of the Jedi, which we saw on the computer in the tent. So it wasn't particularly hard camping. You know, that kind of thing. But it's a lifestyle, just rejoicing in God, and as things become more important, I suppose closer to the centre of reality, like salvation, then our boasting should be more explicit. You know, I think when if I came to my whole child, I think, you know, I boast in this child, I'd start saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this child." But as it's more of a minor issue, you know, you in a sense you probably don't need to be as explicit about the boast. You got the maths answer right, 2 + 2 = 4, and you know, you're proud about it. That's a peripheral issue. You don't need to sort of, "I boast in the Lord, you know, that 2 + 2 does equal 4, and then I got it right, and you've given me the intelligence to get it," or whatever. But I think as things get closer to the heart of who you are and relationships, I think our boasting needs to be more explicit in the Lord God. Last question. No, everyone on this. Sorry, I won't make the comment. Go for you.
How can we encourage people in their gifts and without giving glory to God without blinding them?
Yeah, that's a really important issue. How do we encourage people in their gifts? How many Americans do we have here? How many Americans? We got one. No, I'm half American. I think Americans are much better. Sorry, this sounds like I'm boasting. But I think Americans are much better at building each other up. It is part of their culture. And I think it's something that the church needs to be radically countercultural in building each other up in people's giftedness for the glory of God. And I'd like to hear a lot more people say to each other, "Well done, that's something, you know, you've got to keep going. God's given you a real gift there. Use it for Him, you know. Whatever it is. And I think Australian Christians need to be radically countercultural at that point. The question is, how do you make it so it's not about, just about, I suppose, puffing up an ego? I suppose the puffing up an ego is a responsibility for the person who's getting the compliment. I think we should be more building of each other, and I suppose saying it in such a way that really shows that it's all to God. You know, it's nothing wrong with saying if someone is a really good artist, you know, say, mate, they even use words like gifted. I know that's a short term, right? But God has really gifted you in art. It's great to see that. A lot, you know, use it more. Keep going, brother, sister. If everyone's doing it, I think it's. Yeah, I think we should go that way, having a lot more building each other up, rather than. But I suppose what we need to do is continually talking about at the centre of things how close to the Lord God is everything we do. So some of these answers are it's wisdom, because you're trying to work out how to say things, how to do things, but the principle still stands that we boast in the Lord God. We boast boldly. Now, God has not called us to repress boasting, but to express it. And we have a pure gospel. God has done it all. We have 100% assurance. We boast in Him. We boast in His strength, His riches, and His power. We boast in our hearts and in our mouths. We boast to believers, to those who are not yet believers. We boast in the good times, we boast in the bad times. Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. I pray. Father, we pray that you would strengthen us, convict us, to make such a strong resolution to put you at the centre of our lives, that our central boast will be in you and the Lord Jesus Christ crucified. Father, we pray that the peripheral areas of our lives will be influenced by this central boast in you, that we'll be people at our church who don't just boast in themselves, but boast in the one who made them and the one who saved them. Father, help us this year to be the people that you want us to be. In Christ's name, amen.